What does it mean to witness and shape the most explosive century in scientific history? In January 1939, a young physicist greeted Niels Bohr at a New York harbor, expecting to discuss the elegant mysteries of quantum mechanics. Instead, Bohr carried news that would crack open the atom and change civilization forever. Nuclear fission was real. That physicist was John Wheeler, and his story reveals something profound about curiosity itself. While Einstein, Oppenheimer, and Feynman became household names, Wheeler worked quietly at the edges of the impossible, coining the term black hole, mentoring a generation of brilliant minds, and asking questions that made even his boldest colleagues uncomfortable. His life wasn't just about discovering nature's secrets, it was about daring to imagine what those secrets might mean for existence itself. When German chemists discovered uranium fission, verification came with stunning speed. Columbia confirmed it in a day, Berkeley in 24 hours. Luis Alvarez literally leaped from a barber's chair to spread the news. Robert Oppenheimer immediately grasped its implications, chain reactions, and unimaginable power. Wheeler initially viewed fission as pure science. Pearl Harbor shattered that innocence. By 1942, physicists abandoned universities for war projects. Wheeler found himself in Richland, Washington by 1944, working on plutonium-producing reactors. Then crisis struck. The B reactor mysteriously shut down after startup. Wheeler identified the culprit, xenon 135, an unknown reactor poison with enormous neutron absorption. This discovery saved the Manhattan Project from catastrophic failure. Yet triumph carried unbearable cost. In October 1944, Wheeler's brother Joe, a 30-year-old history PhD serving as a private in Italy, was killed in action. His body lay undiscovered until April 1946. Wheeler remained haunted by terrible arithmetic. Had the bomb been ready a year earlier, might Joe and millions of others have lived? Some questions physics cannot answer. Wheeler's family prized learning. His father, a Washington, D.C. librarian, descended from Puritans. His mother from Scottish survivors of the 1689 Londonderry siege. When they moved to a 600-acre Vermont farm in 1921, Wheeler attended a one-room schoolhouse where he absorbed older students' lessons and leaped from fourth to eighth grade in just over a year. Surrounded by books, the privilege of librarian parents, he devoured technical manuals, building wooden mechanisms and crystal radios. Curiosity proved dangerous when dynamite cap experiments nearly cost him a finger and left copper fragments permanently embedded in his body. The close call refined rather than dampened his fascination. At 16, Wheeler entered Johns Hopkins on scholarship for engineering. Physics journals changed everything. Quantum mechanics electrified him during chemistry lectures. The late 1920s and early 1930s blazed with discovery. Quantum mechanics, antimatter, the neutron, expanding universe. Wheeler didn't merely study this revolution, he apprenticed within it, rotating monthly between masters, counting alpha particle flashes on zinc sulfide screens using Rutherford's method. Gregory Bright and Niels Bohr shaped Wheeler's early career, treating him as colleague rather than subordinate. With Bright at NYU, Wheeler calculated collision probabilities for photon-created electron-positron pairs, work they doubted could be detected experimentally until Stanford proved them wrong 63 years later. The electron's elegant mathematics sparked Wheeler's obsession. Could everything be made from electrons? These explorations led toward radical ideas, physics without photons, worlds where the future affects the past. Copenhagen offered something different. Bohr, grieving his son's death, remained unmistakable, constantly lighting his pipe, mumbling profound thoughts everyone strained to hear. Dialogue was his method. He needed someone to bounce ideas against, gradually taking over seminars from original speakers. During Wheeler's year there, Bohr developed his compound nucleus model, the idea that a nucleus's behavior after excitation disconnects from how it became excited. When they collaborated in 1939, Wheeler was 27, Bohr 53. Trading chalk at blackboards and circling hallways in discussion, they discovered uranium's puzzling behavior stemmed from isotopic differences. Rare U-235 undergoes fission with slow neutrons. Abundant U-238 requires higher energy. This insight helped predict plutonium-239's properties before its discovery. After the war, Wheeler returned to Princeton, teaching relativity while working on the hydrogen bomb. He became captivated by Oppenheimer's 1939 prediction that massive stars could collapse to singularities, geometric points of infinite density. Wheeler believed nature utilizes all possibilities offered by valid theories. If matter could collapse to infinitesimal size, somewhere it would. This led him to gions, hypothetical entities made entirely of electromagnetic fields held together by their own gravity. Though likely unstable and unobserved, gions represented mass without mass, potentially illuminating problematic point particles. During 8 months at Leiden in 1956, Wheeler explored quantum principles governing space-time itself. With Charles Misner, he envisioned turbulent space-time fracturing into ever-changing geometries at the incredibly small Planck length, a foaming sea of possibility at reality's foundation. Then came black holes. In fall 1967, discussing pulsars at NASA, Wheeler sought a catchier phrase than gravitationally completely collapsed object. Someone suggested black hole. It captured something essential. Light itself can be trapped forever. Wheeler and student Remo Ruffini postulated black holes have no hair, influenceable only through mass, charge, and spin. Student Jacob Bekenstein later demonstrated a black hole's horizon area is its entropy, confirmed by Stephen Hawking's 1974 discovery of black hole radiation. Wheeler's 1976 delayed choice experiment revealed something profound. Our measurement choice, whether to place a second mirror, determines if photons behaved as particles or waves. The measurement doesn't reveal reality, it creates it. Carol Alley's 1984 demonstration proved this wasn't philosophy, but laboratory fact. This sparked it from bit, the idea that the universe arises from countless yes-no measurement choices. Information isn't merely what we learn about the world, it may be what constructs the world itself. Black holes pushed Wheeler further. If time ends in a black hole and space crumples to nothingness at its center, why assume our physical laws are fundamental? Perhaps they emerged with the Big Bang, just as space and time did, one possible outcome among many. Physical laws may be contingent rather than necessary, arising by chance alongside the universe itself. At 75, Wheeler moved to a retirement community near Princeton, his mind still restless with questions some colleagues deemed beyond science's scope. Is the universe a self-excited circuit made real by observation? Do physical laws emerge in the Big Bang and extinguish in the Big Crunch? Wheeler never apologized for such speculation. Like Spinoza, Riemann, and Bohr, he believed speculation belongs alongside rigorous science. His life proved that the deepest discoveries come not from playing it safe, but from standing at the edge of the known and asking, what if? Wheeler's legacy whispers something different in a world demanding certainty. The most important questions aren't the ones we can answer today. They're the ones that reshape what we think questions can even be. He watched the atom crack open in 1939, coined black hole and quantum foam, and mentored minds that would reshape physics for generations. What would Wheeler ask at today's frontiers? Quantum computing, artificial intelligence, dark matter? Perhaps the same thing he asked throughout his life, not just what is, but what if? The universe doesn't hand us answers. It hands us the privilege of asking better questions. That's Wheeler's inheritance. Not certainty, but the courage to wonder at the edge of everything we think we know.